Happy Sabbath to everyone. It's good to see everyone here. We're in the season and it's good. It's good. It's good. Stories told of a minister who was desperately trying to get his sermon done. But as fate would have it, his little boy was interrupting him, asking him questions. Suddenly, as if like a flash, he had an idea. He remembered a magazine that recently came in and he saw a picture of a globe. So he figured, I can fix that. So he found the magazine, tore the page out, ripped the globe into several little pieces like a puzzle, and gave them to his son to put together, thinking, I'll have some time now to get my sermon done. Well, it wasn't 5 minutes, his son was back. The puzzle all complete. So he said, how did you do that? How did you get this done so quickly? Well, the boy said, you know, at the back of that picture was a picture of a man. I just put the man back together, and I knew if the man's right, the world will be right. Yeah, if the man is right, his world is right. But there's the rub. How do we get the man right? How do we get the man right? Because, let's turn to Romans 8:7. Before we start, Romans 8:7. The human heart is enmity against God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So before we start, just by our normal human nature, we are enmity against God. We aren't subject to his law, and we can't be. We can't be. Even God lamented this. We can turn to Deuteronomy 5:29. Even God lamented this. Deuteronomy 5:29. He said, oh, that there was such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children. So even God recognized that it's almost impossible to get the man right because his heart isn't right. So, as we are now in the midst of the fall holy day season, let us, looking at Matthew 6:33, we all know that, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Because I'm going to make some assumptions. If the man seeks first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his heart will be right. And we'll again make some scientific assumptions that to do that, his purposes must be aligned with God's laws. And if his purpose is aligned with God's laws, his heart will be right. If his heart is right, the man will be right. If the man is right, his world will be right. And if his world is right, his future will be right. To use as a base for this discussion, let's turn to Luke 17:20-21. Luke 17:20-21. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Now that's a strange saying. He's talking to the Pharisees. The Pharisees were bent on destroying him. And he is saying to them, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, I gave this sermon in Tampa last week, and I had my little seed. Thought I put it in my pocket, but I don't have it. But just imagine I have a seed here, okay? Kingdom of God is within you. You have a seed. It's dry. It's ugly. But in that seed, there is a forest. You plant that seed, it'll grow up. It'll bear fruit. Each fruit will have a seed, and before you know it, you can have a forest. So when God was saying to the children, to the Pharisees, the kingdom of God is within you, well, that's a concept that we need to take seriously. Because within us, that seed of God's kingdom will grow, or help us grow, as the case is and should be, into God's kingdom. So let's look at the word within. The kingdom of God is within you. Now, Strong's concordance for the word within is 1787, and it's inside. And that makes sense. Within is inside. 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 Now, that word was taken from a root word, 1722, Strong's concordance. And that root word has three meanings. A state, a time, and a place. Now, we can define a state as a way of being, the way we are, the way God wants us to be, God's way of being right. A time, well, today is a time, it's a period of time, it's the Sabbath. But the Sabbath, in reality, is a memorial of God's creation, and it helps us to look forward to God's kingdom. We may not think of the Sabbath in that way, but the Sabbath is a time that pictures God's kingdom. It's a day of rest. It's a day of rejuvenation. It's a day of all the things that we think of God's kingdom in a mini way. That's what the Sabbath is. And then, of course, there's tabernacles. Yeah, that is a time. It's a period of time when we observe and when we reminded of and, in fact, live and enact what God's kingdom will be like. So with this definition in mind, let us read Deuteronomy 5:29 again and expand on it. So when God lamented, "Oh, if there were a heart in them," so, oh, if they were in a state, it was their way of being, that they would fear me. And when we go to the feast, we go there to learn to fear him. That they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, including the time, the Sabbath that we observe today, and the time of the feast that we will be observing soon, a time when we will experience God's kingdom, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. So that time pictures, yeah, when Christ will return, which we observed a few days ago, trumpets, and begin the process of setting up his kingdom, a state, a time, a place. So God wishes there were a heart in them. We can assume he's looking at the heart because that's what he said, if there were a heart in them. And he is observing and he isn't seeing a heart in them. So if God is looking, we remember this story when Israel demanded a king and Samuel was helping decide a king and he went through Jesse's sons and finally came to the youngest one, this scrawny sheepkeeper boy. God said, don't look at him or the height of his stature. I don't look the way man looks. I look at the heart. So if God looks at the heart, shouldn't that be where we should be looking ourselves? And if God is looking at the heart, he's looking at our heart, and we need to be looking at our heart as well. And doing what we need to do so God can see that heart in us, that we will observe, obey, keep his commandments always, that it will be well with us forever. So let's turn to Proverbs 4:23 and see what God commands us to do about our hearts. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So God wants us to do something about our heart. He wants us to keep it with all diligence. Let's turn to Proverbs 23:7. Expand on that a little bit. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So in keeping our heart with all diligence, we have to pay attention to how we think, to what we think. Because how we think and what we think determines who we are. And if we want to be what God wants us to be, then we have to learn to think the things God wants us to think, because then we will be what God wants us to be. If you squeeze an orange, what comes out? Anyone? Why? Why does orange juice come out? Because that's what's inside. When Jesus was on the cross being squeezed to death, what came out? He said, forgive them. They know not what they do. Forgiveness was inside. So we need to put the things inside so when we get squeezed by life, by people, by whatever circumstance, what comes out is what's inside. But it's not going to get inside unless we put it inside, unless we keep our hearts with all diligence, unless we keep our hearts with all diligence by watching what, paying attention, what and how we think. So in the time that remains, let's look at 7 steps we must take to make our hearts right. Because, as we theorized before, if a man seeks first God's kingdom and its righteousness, his heart will be right. But to do that, his purpose, his thinking, must be aligned with God's laws. And if his purpose is right, his heart will be right. And if his heart is right, the man will be right. And if the man is right, his world will be right. And if his world is right, his future will be right. So the first thing we want to do is to purpose in our heart and renew this purpose daily, like Daniel did. We know the story. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not do certain things. We have to purpose in our heart that we would not do certain things, but that we will do the things that we need to do to keep our hearts with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. The second thing we need to do is, we're told about that, and we don't have to turn there, Psalms 37:5, commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. So once we make that purpose, we purpose in our hearts, we make the commitment to follow through. Because unless we follow through, it's not going to work. It can't. Commit your way unto the Lord and trust him. Because we can't do it on our own. We can't do it by ourselves. So we commit our way and we trust him. And it says he will bring it to pass. So yes, we have to start the process. It's like the seed. Yeah, there's a forest out there, but somebody had to put the seed in the ground. But once he put it in the ground, he had to trust, commit that seed to God, because he's the one that sends the rain and the dew and the environment and all the circumstances for that seed to grow. So when we plant that seed of purpose inside and make that commitment and turn it over to God, he is the one that provides the environment, the circumstances, the rain, if you will, for that seed to grow, mature, and germinate, and help us grow into the kingdom of God. The third thing we need to be doing is asking God for wisdom, because that's the foundation on which we need to build our lives, physical lives or spiritual lives as well. Yeah, the wise man builds his house upon a rock. And we need to be building our house, our spiritual house, our lives, if you will, on a rock. So we need to ask God for wisdom, but it doesn't stop there. We need to ask God to increase our faith. But it doesn't stop there either, because faith without works is dead. Faith without works doesn't accomplish much. So let's look at 2 Peter 1, 5-8, and see once God increases that faith, what else we need to be doing. 2 Peter 1, 5-8. And besides this, giving all diligence, that word comes up again, add to your faith. So once God increases our faith, and we have to ask God to increase our faith every day, once he does that, there are things we have to add. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if you do these things and abound, they make you that you shall be neither barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there are things we need to be doing. We need to purpose in our heart. We need to commit our ways to God. We need to ask wisdom, increase in faith. And then the third thing we need to be asking for is an increase of God's Spirit. And he promised, he says, if you being good know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will I give my Spirit to those who ask? But we have to ask. It's not automatic. We have to ask. So once we have these steps in place, the fourth thing we need to do is to apply our hearts unto wisdom. We ask, now we have to do it. We have to apply it. We have to make it a part of our lives. We have to make it so that when we squeeze the orange, when we get squeezed, in whatever circumstances that may be, even if it's God testing us. Because he tested Job, remember? And it said, through all that test that Job went through, he never sinned with his lips. He never sinned. He just maintained that integrity because that's what was inside. So we need to make sure that we are putting inside the things we need to be putting so that as we seek the kingdom of God, we will grow, we'll become that state that represents the kingdom of God. So once we apply our hearts unto wisdom, then we take control of our minds. And there are certain things we need to be thinking. And we're familiar with Philippians 4:8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things have good report. If there's any virtue, if there's any praise, we need to be thinking of those things. But we can only keep our mind thinking of those things if we have laid the foundation, those steps that have gone before. Now, once you've gotten that far in our steps, step number 6, we need to, like David did, hide God's laws in our heart that we may not sin against him. But again, we don't have to do it by ourselves because God says, I will write my laws on their hearts. God's going to help us do those things. And once they're written there, again, they become a part of the state that we are. And that state that we are is a state that represents God's kingdom, which Jesus said is within us. And then we review this last step is Proverbs 4:23 again. Once we have all these pieces together, watch it like a hawk. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So, like I said, if we do this, we'll be like a man who builds his house upon a rock. And like Paul, we can boldly say, as he told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:7-8, I have fought a good fight, sought first the kingdom of God. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith, sought first the righteousness of that kingdom. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. So once we go through those steps, there'll be no doubt in our minds where we stand. Paul wasn't being boastful. Paul wasn't trying to say how good I am. Paul was just stating a fact. When a tree grows up and it's blooming and bearing fruit, it's not saying how good I am or look at me. No, it's just the nature of the way plants are. You put the seed in the ground, ugly looking thing, but it grows into a beautiful tree. If it's a fruit tree, yeah, you get lots of food to eat. If it's otherwise, it provides shade, it provides a place for the birds to hang out. It's a thing of beauty. So when we do the things we need to do with that state that we become, we then become a thing of beauty to ourselves, to others, but most importantly, to God. So in the time that remains, again, let's look at Matthew 6:33 in a way that we may never have looked at it before. And seek first to establish the purpose, to seek to establish the state that supports that purpose, and to ask for more of God's Spirit. An athlete, a high jumper, was trying to improve his skill. He was looking, I imagine, to the Olympics, and he wanted to, well, why would you go to the Olympics unless you're trying to win the gold? So he got a coach, and the coach was challenging him. And when he put the bar a little higher than the athlete thought he could do, he was discouraged. The coach said, this is how you think of this. If you put your heart over the bar, your body will follow. So many times, the things we are asked to do seem so beyond us, seem so impossible, seem so difficult. But if we keep our hearts with all diligence, if we purpose in our heart, if we do all those things with our heart and we throw our heart over the bar, we will follow. And when we follow, like Paul, It's not how good we are or what we've done and our accomplishments. It's we will have fought a good fight. We will have finished our course. We will have kept the faith. And he has laid up for us a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give us in that day. It's just the nature of things, the nature of how it goes. So with that background, we can look at Matthew 13, 24 to 53, and we're not going to read it, but I'll just go over some highlights in a way that we may never have looked at it before. In that passage, Jesus gave a number of parables describing what the kingdom of God was like. And first he said, the kingdom is like field. The good man sold wheat, but the servants saw tares. And they said, who did this? Didn't we sow good seed? Didn't we sow wheat? How come all these weeds? How come all this, okay? Should we go and pull out the weeds? And the good man said, no. If you go to try to pull out the weeds, you're going to pull out the wheat also. Let them grow together. At the harvest, we will take care of it, separate. So we are human. We live in Satan's world. We're not perfect. But sometimes we get so down on ourselves because of the things that we do sometimes, or the way we react sometimes. And we keep saying, boy, I'm really not making progress here. But if we understand the enemy is doing this, we don't need to be discouraged. Don't sweat the bad stuff. As long as we know we are working hard to do the good stuff, let them grow together. At the end, God will separate the wheat from the tares. So let us not get discouraged, as we are admonished to do in well-doing. That's what Jesus said the kingdom of God was like. Then he gave the parable of the mustard seed. Little seed, so small, maybe you need a microscope to see it. But the earnest of God's Spirit. How do you see God's Spirit? But once that's impregnated in our minds, yeah, we can grow into the kingdom of God. So once we understand that, then we know that God has given us an earnest of his Spirit. We just need to ask every day to help us to grow, or to help him to increase his Spirit in us. And that's what he said the kingdom of God is like. He went on to talk about the kingdom of God being like yeast put in flour. Like the beginning of our faith. Yeah, our fledgling faith. You're not going to move any mountains with that. But he said, it's that little faith, like a grain of mustard seed, that can grow to the point where we can say unto this mountain, and I don't think he meant the literal mountain, but the mountain of all the things we have to go through in life, the mountain of overcoming and growing and becoming a part of God's kingdom, the mountain of going through the steps that we just went over. It's a mountain. We are human. And by nature, we are enmity against God, not subject to his laws. And we can't be. But like the mustard seed, he'll give us the faith to overcome that mountain. That's what the kingdom of God is like. He also went on to say the kingdom of God is like treasure hidden in a field. Treasure. Treasure is something of tremendous value. God's word, God's truth is of tremendous value. But it's hard to understand. It's hard to find. It's hard to decipher unless God's Spirit is working with us. So here again, we have to be asking for an increase of that measure of God's Spirit. But this takes time and this takes effort. So we are told to buy the truth and sell it not. Well, buy the truth, buying involves money. That's how you buy. And money is time. So I don't think he meant, you know, $2.50 for truth or $200 for truth. But what he wants us to do is to take the time. Take the time. Our days get crowded with so many things that it's not that they're important, but we have to value the truth and take the time to buy this truth and sell it not. That's what the kingdom of God is like. He went on to say the kingdom of God is like a pearl of great price. A pearl of great price. Again, something of tremendous value. So you forsake everything else, no matter what it is, and you pursue that pearl of great price. And as we learned, the way you pursue that pearl of great price is by working to establish that state within you of God's kingdom. The kingdom of God, he said again, is like a net full of fish. Yeah, you cast a net and you get all kinds of fish, but you pick out the good and the bad. So in life, there's a lot of information out there, a lot of things to distract us. But we have to discern with our minds and choose the good fish, the good things that we need to be doing. But we can only do that in the right way by establishing those steps that we went through so that inside we are in that state so we can be making the right decisions and making the right choices. So as a final scripture, let's turn to Romans 14, 17. Romans 14. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in Christ. So as we are going through the holy day season this year, starting with the trumpets 5 days ago and going forward to atonement, as we learned earlier, and the Feast of Tabernacles, let us remember our role, our primary role, is to be working to develop that state. And in that state, we can properly observe the time. Because remember, the kingdom of God within you, within the root word, state, time, and place. So we can properly observe the time, and we can properly look forward to that place, which is the kingdom of God. So now that we understand that the kingdom of God is within us in the form of a state, a time, a place, now that we understand why we must seek God's kingdom first and have a practical plan on how to do that, now that we understand that by daily asking God to create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us, by daily asking him to renew our minds so that we can think of the things we need to think that are true, that are lovely, that are pure, that we can ask him daily to help us to put on that armor, because we need that armor, and underneath it, keep building those virtues. Remember, add to faith, virtue, and temperance, and all those things. By daily asking God to renew in us the indwelling of his righteousness, which he says will be springing up into everlasting life. Now that we understand that by doing this, we will be in a state where we can truly pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now that we understand, let us seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness every day, with all that we understand it to mean now, that state that we need to be in. Let us seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness weekly when we observe the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a delight. It's holy time. And it should remind us of where we need to be in terms of our state, a weekly reminder. And it should be an observation of time. And it should help us look forward to that place that we are looking forward to when Christ returns and set up his kingdom. So let us therefore keep the feast this year and every year with sincerity and truth. Let us eagerly await the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he will usher in that city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Have a wonderful feast, a wonderful festival season, and an enriching festival of Tabernacles.